make it. Because it's done took out a lot of the businesses and the stuff that's been here for years. And these dikes that they rebuilt up there, I don't think that'll hold either. I believe spring coming, it'll take it right out again. You know, all that land had been there for years and years, more far as I can remember, forever. And then it washed it out. They're going to man-make it and put it back. I don't believe it'll ever stay there. It might stay there forever, but, you know, I've never seen anything like that night. As far as I know, most of the people around here have never seen it. Some of the older folks had seen the flood there in 55 or 54, wasn't it? Yeah, and they'd seen that, but some of them I talked to said it wasn't nowhere near like this one. And back before my dad, he's been dead here a year or better. Anyway, he was telling me whenever they was kids, probably I guess in 54, they used to have a swinging bridge up Hamilton down over the hill where I went across the river. His mom and dad had done whipped him a couple times there for being out on this bridge. The water was up real high, and come flood stage, they done had threatened him a couple times that they was going to whip him if they didn't get off the bridge. So they'd get off of it and mess around there a little bit. Mom and them wasn't looking. They'd go back out and get on the bridge, go out and watch everything float down the river on the bridge, right? Dad said they'd been watching this big old red barn come down the river there for miles, and or not miles, but about a mile down the river. Anyway, Mom and him come out and made him get off the bridge again, and said he was the last one off, and said he just stepped off the bridge and heard a snap. When he turned back around and looked, and that red barn had hit the bridge and took the bridge and all down the river. And if they'd have been on there, they'd have went down the river right along with it. But it didn't take out my uncle and him's house that time, but it took it out this time. It took out, might as well say, the whole bottom there at Hamilton. And everything that was in the lowland, it took it out. Took them down the river. But I guess a lot of people was fortunate. If they'd have come at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, there'd been a lot of dead people in this town. You know, not only here, but everywhere. You know, because a lot of the older folks had been dead. They'd been in their beds or asleep. And it never knew, I don't think it had never known what hit them until it was after it was too late. But, you know, I guess it was just luck it come at the time it did come. We went down in the tannery the next day, well, a couple days after that, looking for Harper's compressor. And we found cars and trucks and motor, some four-wheelers that Lambert's had up there, and found a couple of their motorcycle trailers and stuff strung all over everywhere and beat to pieces, and some of them was up, some of the cars was completely buried, you know, just parts of it showing out of the sand and mud and rock and whatever else, brush. I don't think it'll never be anything like it was Monday morning. It's starting to look up now. It looks a lot, you know, a lot better than it was.
Takes a lot to put down.
Yeah. Still bad, any way you look at it.
I'm just trying to put myself in your place a little bit and trying to understand whether I'd have been able to get in that boat like you did. I know I've never been able to help it because I'm not a saddle man as you are, but you're, in my mind, you're a hero. There's no other way to describe it except that. But what? I was just wondering what went through your mind when Don Goss got the boat in the water.
I never really got scared until I was out on the water. Well, it didn't scare me at all until after we shut the boat off. And then and I realized when the boat didn't want to start, and I thought we was going to hit the trees there, that scared me. But I'm a good swimmer, and I thought, well, take his life jacket off and swim for shore, you know. And, cause I knew, I was pretty sure I could make it to shore, but I wasn't sure whether he could, because he, like I said, he was 70-some years old and getting up there in the age pretty good anyway. Shouldn't have even been out there on the water. They should have let somebody else that was, younger, I thought, but wasn't my boat. Tell him, well, you can't take your boat and go out here. But we worked out pretty good. We got her out there.
He handled the boat well.
Oh yeah, he's good. He knows how to run the boat real well. They use it. They fish with it. Take it out and take it up on the lake and stuff like that. And go out and fish. But been any smaller boat, I don't think we'd have maintained the water. Because it was waves and beating the boat. Things floating by, like I said, sticks and you name it. Anything you could think of that wasn't tied down, come down the river. Same stuff hit that Holly Meadows bridge down while we was down there at the bottom looking for it, looking for her. It just sounded like bombs going off, stuff hitting it and busting up and going through. And you couldn't hardly see anyway, except whatever you could see with your flashlight. If whatever got out of view of the flashlight, you couldn't see it. But we went through the dike up there. I walked across the dike up there, and water hit you a little bit over the waist. And I went out. I went over to this one house over there, though, and it's built like on a little knoll in the bottom. And there was water completely around this house, but the garage floor was completely dry. He had these, like a Gravely tractor there and a couple lawnmowers that was just in a little building. Everything was just right in place, just right the way they'd left it. Never hurt that house at all. Never got a bit of water in that house, but it went completely, the water was completely surrounded it and wiped every house out right around it, but just luckily it didn't get in. But the house was built up on a knoll, and then right behind it, it dropped off, down over the bank. I don't know, 8 or 10, 12 feet, whatever. But the water was up within two car lengths, I'd say, of the house. But it hadn't got into it. Didn't get into it, I don't guess, all night. But a lot of the other people down there weren't that fortunate. Some of them washed their houses clear away. My ex-father-in-law washed his house clear away up Hendrix. And his son, their house was built right above it. He even washed the ground that his house settled and washed it all away. Ground and everything. You can't even tell that there was even a house or anything even built there. And that, I guess, Cleta along and them, I guess they spent the night up there in the woods, Norman and them, because they couldn't get out. They was in the, he was trying to take things out of the house. Norman was, save things that was in the house that he wanted to save. And Benny was telling me that, he was in water almost up to his chest in the house before she could get him out of the house and get him to stay out of the house, but there wasn't no place for him to go except up on the hill. They went up on the hill there, and all the mountain streams was coming off of both sides of them, so they couldn't go to the right and they couldn't go to the left. So I guess they went up there and stayed in an old fodder shack or some kind of old shack up there on the hill, a little building that maybe the government had up there or something. I spent the night up there in the rain and whatever else for them. They lost their dog up there. It washed away. It tried to cross one of the creeks. Well, they tried to cross the creek. And holding on the trees and stuff, trying to get across the water. And the dog wouldn't, they said the dog, he tried to swim across too, but the last time they seen it, when it went down over the falls, down over the cliff there, blew out of sight of them. And then I don't guess they've never seen it since. Forced it away, killed it somewhere down through there. Lost the horse, yeah. I don't know whether they ever did find the horse. In St. George, they had cows up at the bridge, and they had stuff from town here on the St. George Bridge the next morning. This stuff that you put in your gas tank, dry gas, found four or five jugs of that, or, plastic bottles of that down on the bridge, and trailer wheels, looked like a spare wheel, off of a trailer, house trailer, laying right in the middle of the bridge, the logs and brush and rocks and everything else laying up there. Plus, I had a Ford truck right below the bridge, brand new Ford truck, washed it away from somewhere, right there at the, that big white house, I think. It was laying down in there. And then that A.B. Moore's dad there, I guess they lost three of their vehicles. Lost her car and his wife's car and their Jeep. Forced everything out of there. So, I don't think I'd want to see it again. But if it did have to come again, I hope it's in the daytime. You know, the way you can see what's going on. And
I guess it wasn't a whole lot of warning.
Well, it wasn't no warning for, actually, Shaver's Fork Air, where, like I said, when we was up there at the house, they got there's a creek runs right off right behind the house. And it was high. I'd seen it that high before. And I didn't think much about it, you know. And we knew it was high. But I never seen the water get up like it did down there. It just seemed like all the mountain streams must have come up. Then that hurricane or whatever come off the coast, that didn't help. They moved it right in. More water than what the rivers could take at the time.
I heard you mention a wave.
Oh, well, they said, well, see, you had blow right below Parsons here. You got Schaefer's Fork comes down this side. And then Black Fork and Dry Fork, like I said, intersects up Hamilton. So you got two rivers coming into one there at Hendricks. And from there down, it was two rivers coming down one. It came down this side of the town. And then you had Schaefer's Fork come down this side by itself, you know, plus all the little mountain streams and other creeks and whatever, all the way up the valley through there where it runs into it. And then right below Parsons here, it all intersects into the three, there was three rivers into one river. And that's when it went through all through Holly Meadows. There were three rivers went through Holly Meadows down there. And from there on down, Rollsburg, St. George, and all that had three rivers going down one. I guess they really did a lot of, you know, destruction on down through. That Randy Carr, we call him Truck, lives down next to Hannahsville there. Blew there. They had a brand new brick home. It was a pretty home. Just destroyed it. It's not even there. Everything that's there now was just the foundation the next morning. But they had, they said there's bricks and part of the home all the way down through the whole bottom there. Behind their house, or behind where the house was, but the next day. Then all them campers and stuff down there at Hannahsville, it took them all out. Washed them all down the river. And they was 50, probably 50 campers, and maybe even more than that in there. Some of them was pretty nice campers. Some of them was, heck, some of them was like mobile homes. Washed them away, eliminated them. Anything and everything got in its way, it took it out. Well, it took the old St. George Bridge out.
So, did you do any praying that
night? I did. I'm not church going. I don't go to church. I mean, I don't, nothing against it. That's one of the finer places in the world, you know, but I just don't do it myself. I don't go there. I don't believe you gotta believe in God to go there, you know. It's just a building like any other building. But, you know, it's a special building, I guess. But, yeah, I did a little praying when we was down there out in the water. I was kind of earlier, you know, I'm a Pepsi drinker. Earlier that evening, we was up there in the bottom, and well, we've been out there for hours. And, well, I was about to die of thirst. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, I said, boy, I'd just love to have a Pepsi, you know. If I had my car or something up there for some kind of transportation where I could have went back to town, I would have went back and got a Pepsi. Anyway, so I was sitting there thinking, boy, I'd like to have a Pepsi. And I was flashing the light around, and I just happened to look down about 3 feet out in front of me come this 2-liter Pepsi floating by. I don't know where it come from. I pulled it up out of the water, you know, Pepsi, all right. You know, took the lid off of it and was checking the lid underneath of it to see if it was any dirt in it or anything, you know. It was clean underneath oats. It even had the fizz and all whenever you took it off. So I drank part of the rest of the evening while we was there. In other words, I drank all that 2 liter Pepsi out there in the middle of nowhere, out in water up here, wishing for a Pepsi, and one of them floated by. I said, we couldn't ask for anything better than that right at the time. But,
you had a couple
of
prayers,
but it didn't give me a Pepsi. I couldn't believe it. So, well, I won't ruin it. Just sitting there thinking to myself, well, I might really like to have a Pepsi. Having to look down, and it was a floating right by. I just reached out and picked it up.
Have you speculated at all about God's role in this flood? God having a role?
Oh yeah, well, I don't know what the reason why, but he evidently had to, maybe the rivers was getting too dirty, so he cleaned them out a little bit, but moved stuff that was there out and put more stuff in. But I know it moved rocks up Dry Fork there. Well, that one rock there on the straight, that rock half as big as this trailer. And it's, I don't guess it's there no more. You used to be able to get out and, you know, good swimming hole, dive off there and swim and whatever else. And it took it out. It's not there no more. I hear the one up Stoddy's is still there. I haven't been up through there yet. Yeah, there's a great big one. Yeah, I heard it was still there. I guess it's probably beat pretty good too. Well, we walked up the Richford Road. I can't think of what her name is. Mary, I know her first name, Mary. They have that little store going into Elkins there on the right. Just as you right there, Highland Park. And anyway, she had a cabin up there. And a pavilion there, at the pavilion. And we walked up to it, the cabin's going. What is the cabin below it? It's going too. Long's this trailer, took it out, washed it out. And then when you get down on the river, the old river road down there, washed that old lady's house out too. It destroyed it. Mm-hmm. And the red house that she had there, it took it down the river. But it left the pavilion stand up there at Mary's house, or the cabin. The pavilion's there, but it took the picnic tables out from under it. But didn't tear the pavilion up at all. It's just like it was before. But they had a great big pair of wooden steps, you know, real heavy. I don't know, half as long as this trailer, built down over the hill to the river, out on this big flat rock. It was a nice place there, but it's ruined a bit. It's like everything else, it never be the same.
It really changed the looks of the
country. Yeah, the rivers are all changed. Schaefer's Fork, I lived on Schaefer's Fork for 8 or 10 years when I was younger. And the water up there now, some of the places where the water used to run on the right side of the river coming down, now it's running on the left side of the river. And then the right side's almost dry from where it used to be the main part of the river. And it took out old Ord and Channels' house up there. Just blew through his house, and, you know, blew the walls out of it and windows and whatever else out. Destroyed it. There's another, right below it, there was two little prefab cabins or whatever they built. I mean, they're not really, they're nice cabins, but they don't look like they're built, you know, nothing like how the old homes was built. But they stayed, and the old home just eliminated it. And then right below it, there was another big house there, a two-story house, and it was an old house. Blew it off the foundation and took it probably 500 yards down through the bottom of maybe a little bit more. And then it just looked like it washed a great big hole out and dropped the first floor, just dropped it right down in this hole. And if he was going to go in the house, he'd have been almost walking into the second story window going into this house, where it just washed out around it and dropped it back down in, sunk it. But it washed it across the foundation. It washed it, well, like I said, probably 500 to 600 yards or so down the river and sunk it, destroyed it. And this old fella that lives right across the road here, Steve Miller, he had two trailers there. Washed them out, eliminated them, destroyed them. But it's it's all changed. The rivers are. I'm just waiting till the water warms up enough to where you can get in an inner tube and get your fishing pole and just start up way up the river and go all the way down the river on an inner tube or a raft or whatever you want to go in. And I'm gonna go in an inner tube. I believe that'd be the best way to go till you figure out how the water is and what's in the water. And, you know, wear tennis shoes and everything else this summer. The rivers, probably half of them won't even be fit to be in. The places where you could swim, you know, or places I've been swimming the biggest part of my life, probably won't be able to swim there. They're probably filled up. And other places will be real deep again. There'll be swimming holes. Everything's going to be changed.
They have to get reacquainted.
Yeah, you'll have to go get reacquainted with it. It'd be just like a new river now. You know, the same area and all, but the water will all be different. It's all going to be laid out different.
Some of your neighbors right here, do you know any of their experiences of what's cooking in their homes?
Well, Steve, the government, they said, I guess they were supposed to take it off up there. Anyway. They were supposed to take the daggone thing off, and they didn't.
Or he says it. I don't know whether it
is. She was okay and stuff like that, but I never asked her too much about the flood because I didn't think she'd really want to talk about it. She's probably just glad it was over with. But, yeah, it's still a mess out there.
What are your plans now?
Yeah, I'm looking for work. I need to work real bad. Well, if I don't get to work here, I'm gonna lose the trailer because I ain't gonna afford to be able to keep the payments here up on it. And then I don't know what I'm gonna do because I'll be back out on the streets then. Be out sleeping in my car then, I guess.
What is the arrangement for the payments?
Well, right now I've got to pay my electric and my gas and my water and cable for the TV if you have it. Telephone and stuff like that if you have a telephone. But I had a little bit of money put back, but it's just about what you call going now. They sent me a paper yesterday wanting to know, you know, about buying the trailer. Me to send it back in if I was interested, so I sent it back in to, you know, see what kind of paperwork they're going to send me back and see how much they'll want for the trailer whenever the time comes and they want to sell it or whatever. But they pay the land, they pay for the land and the trailer. It's more or less free rent, you know, for me, plus all the people here. They get all free rent. All you got to do is pay your utilities on it. But then after so long time, you've got the option to buy the trailer for your own use.
Would you like to do that?
I like to buy it, but I don't know whether I'm going to be able to afford to buy it. If I get to, if I was working, and that's my big problem right now. I need to be back to work. I've been asking, I asked the people, you know, I've been over to the unemployment office and all that, and some people called me from out of Romney and told me that, you know, for me to be down here at the courthouse two Wednesdays ago. And so I showed up and they didn't show up. So I called them up and she was telling me that they worked for the natural resources, or that the natural resources was the one that was going to be paying for their job. It was one of the river crews here. And I was supposed to run parasol for them, 12:20 an hour. Anyway, but the natural resources had run out of money and that they were trying to get a grant or a fund from the government. So until they got that, they couldn't hire me. They contacted my aunt 4 or 5 times though for me to go to work. And then once I get there, they tell me we're not hired. So we ain't got the money to pay. Okay, so that kind of knocked me right out of that. So now I just, you know, matter of fact, I was going to go to the unemployment office today and see if I couldn't find some work or see if I couldn't find something. but I've been to all kinds of places in Elfin and around. They always tell you that they do their hiring through the unemployment office, and you go to the unemployment office and they tell you, well, send you over there, but don't do no good. Either, if you got a job here now, you either hold on to it or you're without a job. Just about the way it goes. But if I had the money and stuff to leave here and go somewhere and start over again, I would have left. I mean, I love Persia. I've been here about all, like I said, 20-something years. Most of my friends is here. Family and relation and whatever else around that I've grown up with, most of them are here. But a lot of them left after the flood. A lot of them had to leave and go wherever they could go to find a place to stay.
Where would you go?
I can't afford to go anywhere. That's why I'm still here, to be truthful with you. The money's just tight everywhere, I guess. But I know down south there's jobs at Hilton Head, you know, down in South Carolina, whatever. There's jobs all over down there. Seems like it'd be a lot of work here, but there's not. Then the shoe factory going out on strike over here, so that's probably another 150, 250 people, however many people they got work over there. That's that many more now that's not working. So there's not really no jobs here, actually. The people's got a lot of grievances, but I think they ought to hold on to what they got. If they, at least they're working, and I'm not, so I can't really say too much about it. But right now, they're not even working, so I think they're just losing out. I think they're going to lose out all the way around on that. They might not. They might, you know, get something out of it. I hope so. If it goes out, I understand that they can't put another business in there for up to a year, or a year and a day, or something like that. That's what some people were talking. If they go out because of the strike, that they won't be able to put another business in, even in that building over there. There's no other businesses here but charcoal plant. And, you know, the private businesses, the stores and stuff, but actually, that's nothing. If you don't have nothing for people to make money after, they ain't going to be able to buy nothing down here at the stores. It's already here. This town's, it was pretty bad before the flood, and it's got a lot worse since the flood. About like a ghost town, only with people still here.
Some people are just in there.
Yeah, they probably don't have no other option, too. They got to go somewhere. They got to make some money. You know, to live on. I've been talking to my mom. See, since my dad died, she moved into that Buchanan Manor, and I moved into the camper. You know, I lived in the camper off and on for six years until the flood. Well, as a matter of fact, I was living in it when the flood wiped it out, but it's bad for everybody. Just some more another.
What about your neighbors up here in the hotel? Do they steer it pretty good? Or, you know, there's a lot of despair.
Some of them's probably, you know, still pretty bummed out about the whole situation. But what is there to say about it? There's not much you can do about it. It happened. They said it's never happened before. I mean, it happened in 54, 53, there, 54, but it wasn't nowhere near as bad as this. They said it got up into the first street above the herbicide where Sweet Harper's shop was, got up into that street, but it never made it to other streets above there. It was bad. It'll be a long time before everything gets straightened back around, you know. I call the bottom land down there. There's no grass down there, really nothing at all. All it's there is mud and dirt and rock, lots of rock. The nursery bottom here, I figure it's gone. I figure they'll not put it back in. That's a rock garden. I think you're going to have to bring the equipment in here and clean the rock off and refilled back in with field dirt to make anything out of it. Harper's over there. I don't think they're going to let him rebuild back because of the, it's right beside the river. But for his business has been there for as many years as I can remember. And if they do let him build it back, they want him to build it 4, 5, 6 feet, whatever, higher off the ground than what it was originally. How do you pull a car up into this place like this? You know, you can't get nothing like that. And he cuts big trucks and whatever else up in there. It'd have to be pretty healthy floor to keep something up there like that. It destroyed his building. It took it right down almost to the floor. You know, he lost a lot of his tools and you name it. He had people's cars set out front, washed them, didn't wash them away, but washed them down the street there and just ruined them. Ruined everything for everybody.